This is Chapel for February 12, 1963. Dr. Briggs is our speaker.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. After our morning prayer, Mr. James Pogue will sing. Will you join me as we pray through the words of Dr. John Bailey? With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Give us, O God, this day a strong and vivid sense that thou art by our side. In multitude and in solitude, in business and in leisure, in our down-sitting and in our uprising, may we ever be aware of thine own accompanying presence. By thy grace, O God, we will go nowhere this day where thou canst not come, nor court any companionship that would rob us of thine. By thy grace, we will let no thought enter our heart that might hinder our communion with thee, nor let any word come from our mouth that is not meet for thine ear. So shall our courage be firm and our heart be at peace. O thou desire of all nations, in the knowledge of whose love and power there is salvation for all the peoples of the earth, hasten the day, we beseech thee, when all men shall acknowledge thee as Lord over all. Hasten the day when our earthly society shall become the kingdom of Christ. Hasten the day when thy presence and the strong hand of thy purpose shall be found not only in the hearts of a few wise and brave men, but throughout the broad land, in court and council chamber, in workshop and marketplace, in the city and in the fields. In whatever we ourselves can do, give us the grace this day to begin. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today is the birthday of Abraham Lincoln. The world, particularly our part of it, was cast into sorrow and grief and despair when the terse but short statement came, "Mr. Lincoln is dead." Thought about that statement for a moment and then asked myself the question, is Lincoln dead? I suspect the answer to that question depends upon us, not upon him. It is possible that he may be dead. I have, as a citizen of this own century, and as a participant in its life, its frustrations, its anxieties, and its fears, ask Mr. Lincoln some questions in order that for a few moments he might live. This is the way historians always do. Here are some answers, which are taken from Abraham Lincoln's own words as he speaks to us. I know the American people are much attached to their government. I know they would suffer much for its sake. I know they would endure evils long and patiently before they would ever think of exchanging it for another. Yet, notwithstanding all this, if the laws be continually despised and disregarded, if their rights to be secure in their persons and property are held by no better tenure than the caprice of a mob, the alienation of their affections from the government is a natural consequence. And to that, sooner or later, it must come. Here, then, is one point at which danger may be expected. The question arises, how shall we fortify against it? The answer is simple. Let every American, every lover of liberty, every well-wisher of his prosperity, swear by the blood of the Revolution never to violate in the least particular laws of the country, never to tolerate their violation by others. As the patriots of 76 did to the support of the Declaration of the Independence, so to the support of the Constitution and laws let every American pledge his life, his property, and his sacred honor. Let every man remember that to violate the law is to trample on the blood of his father and to tear the charter of his own and his children's liberty. Let reverence for the laws be breathed by every American mother to the lisping babe that prattles on her lap. Let it be taught in the schools, in the seminaries, and in colleges. Let it be written in primers, in spelling books, and in almanacs. Let it be preached from the pulpit, proclaimed in legislative halls, and enforced in courts of justice. And, in short, let it become the political religion of the nation. Let the old and the young, the rich and the poor, the grave and the gay of all sexes and tongues and colors and conditions sacrifice unceasingly upon its altars. There is no grievance that is a fit object of redress by mob law. In any case that may arise, as for instance promulgation of abolitionism, one of two positions is necessarily true. That is, the thing is right within itself and therefore deserves the protection of law and all good citizens. Or it is wrong and therefore proper to be prohibited by legal enactments. But in neither case is the interposition of mob law either necessary, justifiable, or excusable. Speaking with reference to the heroes of the Revolution, he says, they were pillars of the Temple of Liberty. And now that they have crumbled away, that temple must fall unless we, their descendants, supply their places with other pillars, hewn from the solid quarry of sober reason. Passion has helped us, but it can do so no more. It will in the future be our enemy. Reason, cold, calculating, unimpassioned reason, must furnish all the materials of our future support and defense. Let these materials be molded in the general intelligence, sound morality, and in particular, reverence for the Constitution and law. And that we be improved to the last, that we remain free to the last, that we revered his name to the last, and that during his long sleep we prepared no hostile foot to pass over or to desecrate his resting place, shall be that which, to learn the last trump, shall awaken our Washington. Upon these let the proud fabric of freedom rest as the rock of its basis, and as truly has been said of the only greater institution, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Almighty has his own purposes. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that they come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. If we shall suppose that American slavery is one of those offenses which, in the providence of God, must needs come, but which, having continued through his appointed time, he now wills to remove, and that he gives to both North and South this terrible war as the woe due to those by whom the offense came, shall we discern therein any departure from those fine attributes which the believers in the living God always ascribe to him? Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet, if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid for by another drawn with the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still must it be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we're in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, for his widow and for his offering, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. So it is true that man proposes and God disposes. But we can see the past, and though we may not claim to have directed it, and seeing it, in this case, we feel more hopeful and more confident for the future. The world has never had a good definition for the word liberty, and the American people just now are much in want of one. We all declare for liberty, but in using the same word, we do not mean the same thing. With some, the word liberty may mean for each man to do as he pleases with himself and the product of his labor, while with others, the same word may mean for some men to do as they please with other men and the product of other men's labor. Here are two not only different, but incompatible things called by the same name, liberty. And it follows that each of the things is, by the respective parties, called by two different and incompatible names, liberty and tyranny. The shepherd drives the wolf from the sheep's throat, for which the sheep thanks the shepherd as his liberator, while the wolf denounces him for the same act as the destroyer of liberty, especially as the sheep was a black one. Plainly, the sheep and the wolf are not agreed upon a definition of the word liberty. And precisely the same difference prevails today among us human creatures, even in the North, in all professing to love liberty. Hence we behold a process by which thousands are passing daily from under the yoke of the bondage hailed by some of us as the advance of liberty, and bewailed by others as the destruction of liberty. Is Lincoln dead? The answer to this question is our answer. Let me pray. Eternal God, our Father, who dost watch over the fortunes and the destinies of the nations of the earth, we thank thee for those who, even though dead, yet speaketh. Grant our Father that they may, there may dwell within our hearts a love for liberty, freedom, truth, and right. Through the indwelling presence of thy Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray.